So Ptolemy is a person we can understand. He cares about Alexander. He has a bit of a reverence for Egypt. And he's doing public works. He's building a library. And then he has another public work. That's one of the seven wonders of the world. He builds the lighthouse at Alexandria. This is the only of the seven wonders of the world, the only one that was for a secular purpose. No religious connotation at all. He builds the lighthouse so that trade can come in to Alexandria. The lighthouse was built just outside the port on an island called Pharos Island. Now, it's not P-H-A-R-A-O-H apostrophe S, not Pharos Island. It's Pharos, P-H-A-R-A-O-S, sometimes O-S. It may be related to that, we're not sure, but it was always called Pharos Island. And on the island, he builds a lighthouse that has first a square base, then there's another stage, it's octagonal, and then there's another stage, it's circular. So it's a three-stage lighthouse going up about 420 feet in height. Interesting, by the way, it's almost the same height as the Great Pyramid of Giza, which was 480 at its peak. And these are the two seven wonders of the world that are in Egypt. There are two of the seven wonders in Egypt, and the lighthouse is one. The lighthouse must have been an incredible engineering marvel. At the top, a fire was kept burning 24 hours a day. And behind it was a bronze mirror, a curved bronze mirror, which could slide on a groove 180 degrees. So you could angle the light, shine it out wherever you wanted. The light could be seen 30 miles out to guide ships into the port. It was a fabulous thing, and it was in operation until 1303. An earthquake did it in. It crumbled during an earthquake. Shortly after 1303, a traveler, a famous world traveler, Ibn Battuta, visited it. And he said he saw it, but he couldn't go up in the lighthouse because it was damaged, terribly damaged. So up until 1303, this was a functioning lighthouse guiding ships in. Now, how many ships? 1,200 ships could fit in the harbor at Alexandria. This was a major shipping enterprise. And this is pure Greek, pure Greek. Egyptians never would have thought of, oh, let's get lots of ships coming in and out. They would have controlled everything. But this is just an amazing thing, and Ptolemy is doing it all. Now, the two things, the two big works projects, the library and the lighthouse, are really Greek in concept. They're looking outward. They're open. They're not secretive. First point on Ptolemy, he does great things, but he's doing Greek things. Second point on Ptolemy, he is going to run Egypt like a business. He is a Greek, and he's coming in as a ruler, and he wants to run it efficiently. He wants to run Egypt efficiently. So he is going to do things that a businessman might do. That a businessman might do. First, he needs a bureaucracy. You need, if you're going to do business, if you're going to have lots of grain coming in and out, if you're going to tax the people, you need people who can read and write. So to some extent, he supports the priests. Not for any deep religious reason. No. The priests are the literate class who can read and write, and he's going to need them. So he does certain things that please the priests. He builds temples, Egyptian temples. And if you want to see the best preserved temples in Egypt, look at the Ptolemaic temples. They're the most recent ones, but they're the best preserved, and they're also some of the largest. And they're built by Ptolemy I, Ptolemy II, and later Ptolemies to appease the priests. So he's, you know, it's like any business. If you got happy workers, you're going to get a better product. And he's going to try to keep the priests happy. So he builds temples. But there is also taxation. He is going to take his cut of almost everything. One thing they tax, that's the biggest source of income, is the grain. Egypt, as you know, always grew more crops than it needed, and he takes his cut. The method of taxation is interesting.